chapter 9 of Matthew, in fact, beginning at chapter 8, is an extended introduction to Matthew chapter 10. Read it that way. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus calls the 12 disciples and commissions them, "Go, perform miracles, including healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, casting out demons, even raising the dead." This is the mission God's chosen people have been given in the 12 select disciples. Prior to that, though, as an effective teacher, Jesus demonstrates what this mission is all about. And in chapters 8 and 9, Jesus heals a leper, gives sight to a blind man, heals the centurion's servant, stops the flow of blood of a woman. And by his activities, he is demonstrating indeed that the kingdom of God has drawn near. The kingdom of God, the reign of heaven has drawn near. And we know in the person of Jesus Christ, heaven was incarnate. The rule of God became incarnate and dwelt among us in the person of Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And as you know, in chapter 28, Jesus commissions the disciples to go into all the world and demonstrate by proclaiming that the kingdom of God has drawn near. Therefore, make disciples of all nations. The church's mission is its Lord's mission. The Lord, the very God of very God, is in control as he sends his church out in the world to continue the mission that he himself began and demonstrated. And for that purpose, he had selected 12 people. In chapter 10, we have the list of the names of all the 12. Already in the text that we read today, we have one of them selected as a prelude to the things that would be happening in chapter 10. And where does he find this man we call Matthew? By a tax booth. A tax collector he was. Not the most respectable job in the community, we were told, but still, he was there. And what was his company? Sinners. Tax collectors like him, and sinners like him, and like us. And to him, Jesus goes, and if you read the text, Jesus has actually a look on him. He beholds him. He puts an eye on him so that he would then, Matthew would follow Jesus with no questions asked. What he says to Matthew is, "You come, follow me." Unless you read between the lines, nothing else is there in the text. He leaves his business and follows him. What a powerful look. What a powerful presence of the Lord. What powerful words. Come, follow me. Nothing can stand between our Lord and ourselves as much as he speaks to us, to our conscience, to our heart, his word, to come and follow him. Matthew was a businessman, so he knew what to do. Embarrassed, perhaps, as he was called to leave his business and follow the Lord, he does then throw a banquet at home for this new guest. And Jesus goes at the invitation to his house, and the company that surrounds Jesus is again tax collectors and sinners. And there are those folks out there who are not in the crowd yet. The Pharisees, the doctors of the law, the ones who knew how law needed to be interpreted. And they were murmuring. The text is very interesting. They were murmuring, not capable of facing the Lord himself. They plot with the disciples. So those who were following the Lord, why is your teacher eating with tax collectors and sinners? And then the response comes from our Lord, the one that is close to our heart. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. The Jewish community used to sacrificing to please God and perhaps also to enjoy the forgiveness of sins. We're used to sacrifices. But Jesus says, no, I desire mercy. No sacrifice. Even the sacrifice of the select lamb and the goat, selected and chosen and dedicated for sacrifice to God, even the blood of those animals falls short of the blood of the unblemished lamb. Don't even try it anymore. No sacrifices count before God, the Holy One. The sacrifices of God before God are a broken spirit, we read in the Psalms. The ultimate sacrifice has been paid for in the unblemished Lamb of God, even Jesus Christ. No more sacrifices remain. It has been done. It is completed. So go learn that I desire mercy. Our God is a merciful God. He desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants all people all over the world to come to the experience of living in the reign of heaven, where God himself is present with us, in our hearts, amidst us, in the communities into which he is sending us. He goes ahead of us. So he has shown mercy to all through his son Jesus Christ. And the scripture says he will have mercy on those whom he will have mercy. It is God's plan, God's desire. I did not come, Jesus says, to save the righteous, but the sinners. This was his job description, as it was told to Joseph, his stepfather, by the angel of the Lord, as Jesus would be conceived in the womb of his earthly mother, Mary. Joseph was told that he will name this child Jesus, for he shall save the people from their sins. And he paid for our sins by becoming the eternal sacrifice, the most holy and pleasing sacrifice before God. That, brothers and sisters, makes us a strange bunch of people. Sinners, but saints. Justified, sanctified, holy, gathered, set apart to declare God's wonderful deeds, the ones he accomplished in Jesus Christ. No more sacrifice remains. However, he is calling us to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing before God. Living sacrifices, living out our lives, living out our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice, by pouring ourselves into this world as a libation, a pleasing, a pleasant aroma before our holy God. God grant us his grace, his power, his leading through the word, his Holy Spirit, so we may continue to live lives of sacrifices, only to the glory of the one who died and rose again for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.